Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard the sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they ask, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in their own native languages? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus in Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, 'What does this mean?' Some, however, made fun of them and said, 'They have had too much wine.' Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd, 'Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk as you suppose. It is only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken of by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." This is the word of God for the people of God. Today is Pentecost Sunday, which is the day that we tend to think of as the birthday of the church. It's the first time that the disciples really started to do evangelism and to speak the message of God publicly. Before this, they had been, I'll be nice and say, in a room preparing themselves. They were hiding. They were staying away from the religious leaders because of what had happened to Jesus, and they were afraid. They were afraid that the same thing would happen to them, and they weren't Jesus. They might not be raised from the dead. They might just be killed, which is actually what happens to almost all of the disciples, with the exception of John. John is the only one who dies an old man. The other disciples were all killed in various ways, and none of them nicely. Some of them torn apart by horses, others filleted alive, crucified, speared to death, just all kinds of different ways that they were killed in very gruesome ways. But this is the beginning of the church, and they're meeting together in an upper room, and it said that tongues like fire descended upon them, and the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they began to talk in various tongues. Now, the whole idea of tongues has been a problem in the church for years, because there are people who think that speaking in tongues means speaking in an unknown language. Now, that is one form of speaking in tongues, but if you read in the Bible, that is a prayer language. That is not a public speaking language. It's not meant to be spoken in public. It's supposed to be done in prayer, in a time of prayer. And I know that there are entire denominations that speaking in tongues is the most important thing. And in fact, I went to a church when I was in high school where if you didn't speak in tongues publicly in a worship service, you couldn't join their church. It was a good church. They were good Christian people. I just don't agree with their thinking on that. That type of speaking in tongues is to be done in a time of prayer. They did that. There were prayer meetings that church would get together, and there would be people who spoke in tongues. But the pastor, who was one of my first mentors, was an absolutely great giant of the faith. And he followed the Bible. And the Bible says two or three people at the most, and if somebody speaks and nobody interprets, then you're done. And that's the way he ran it. You could be there in prayer, and if somebody spoke in tongues, and he said, do we have an interpretation? If there was no interpretation, he said, that's it, no more. We can pray, but you will pray silently. And I came to admire the man, especially the more I began to study Scripture and to see that that's exactly what's called for. I also experienced in those times some absolutely amazing things that the Spirit was doing. One example was I had a good friend. She was my age. She had a sister who was quite a few years older than her, was married already, had a couple of kids. She came to our prayer meeting one night. It was a Sunday night, and this friend of mine spoke during the prayer time. And she spoke in Spanish. The problem was she didn't know Spanish. She was in German. She had taken 3 years of German in high school. And if you know anything about the two languages, they're nothing alike. But her sister, who had taken 4 years of Spanish in high school and 4 years of Spanish in college, spoke Spanish fluently, said that was the most beautiful Spanish message. It was in perfect grammar, and it was a message to her to get herself back into church and to get back in contact with God and to renew her faith. My friend had no idea what she was saying, but it was a message to her sister. And I've heard those kind of things happen different times, and that's what speaking in tongues is about. It's often in another language. And here what it was a message to all of the people in Jerusalem who needed to hear. Now my problem is, I often thought about doing this, is get everybody who can speak another language and we'll all start reading this passage at the same time in whatever language it is that we can speak. How in the world would you understand anything that's being said? All you would hear would be this noise. You'd maybe pick up a word in French and a word in German and maybe one in Greek, and it would be horrible. So how in the world, all of them speaking in all of these different languages, how did anybody hear anything? And the answer is the Holy Spirit. My question is, did they all speak in their language and the Holy Spirit transferred it in the ears of those hearing into their own language? Because the most important thing for God is that we hear, is that we understand. And that's one of the things that the church needs to understand. The goal of the church is to proclaim the message of Jesus Christ to all people. Now, we can change the way we proclaim the message. We can change the way we do things, but we can never change the message. The message must still be the same message. Now, today, if you go online, you'll find the sermon, because that's one of the ways that we've changed things, to reach out to a different group of people, to be able to speak to people who maybe don't go to church, but they're on the internet and they're looking for this kind of thing. I learned an important lesson as I was doing counseling at a drug and alcohol center. And it was just a block and a half from the church I was serving. So I'd go up every Sunday morning before church. There were 18 guys there. That was full capacity. And it was always full. As soon as one left, another one came in. And so I'd be walking down the street like a mother duck, and there'd be 18 guys following behind me. And we'd walk down to church, and they'd come and sit in church, and they'd spread themselves out through the congregation. One day as we're walking down the street, this one guy from New York, he was about 6'3", weighed over 300 pounds, and he looked at me and said, "Pastor Larry, you're my dog." And I went, "Whoa, what does that mean?" One of the other guys said, oh, it's okay. What he means is dog is man's best friend. So what he's saying is he really likes you. I'm glad. I really am. This was the same guy who had admitted to me that he had been in a fight and had killed three guys at the same time. He was mean and he was big. And I was more than happy to be his dog. Real happy to be his friend. But when we're speaking to people, sometimes we need to change the way we speak. But we can't change the message. That's the problem that the church is struggling with today. The Bible is the Bible, and it's been that way for 2,000 years. And the message cannot change. Now, we don't claim to understand everything completely. That's why I like Bible study, because I learn as much from you as you learn from me. Yes, I have the knowledge, the history, that those kind of things, but you have your life and what God has taught you through the way that He's been at work in your life. And many times I learn wonderful things from people who have no theological training but have followed God for years. And God has taught them through the Holy Spirit some wonderful, wonderful truths about the Bible. But we need to be sure that as a church, we are following God. We need the Holy Spirit to help us determine and test everything to make sure it is from God and it follows with Scripture. I hear people say, well, there's only three or four scriptures about that speak against that in the Bible, or there's only seven or eight scriptures who speak about that in the Bible. How many do we need? If God says it once, it's enough. The problem is that in the church, we've already decided that certain things are okay because society says so. People say, well, you know, we have to accept divorce because so many people get divorced. No, we don't. We don't have to accept divorce because so many people get divorced. What we need to do is remind people that if you've been divorced, God is a God of forgiveness. Not accept the practice, but offer forgiveness. I myself am an alcoholic. Been an alcoholic for 40 years. Haven't had a drink for over 35. But it's God's grace and God's forgiveness that has helped me to change my life. Somebody let me know that the way I was living wasn't right. And I got my life straightened out with the help of God. And now, my job is to help you do the same things in your life. To help you understand what it is that God has for you to do. Because God gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit. Not so that we can talk in other languages, though that may be something that He gives you the gift to do if the need ever arises. But the gifts to be the church of Jesus Christ in the place where God has put us. We must stand strong. We must follow the scriptures. We must be God's people. God didn't give us the Holy Spirit so that we could do nothing. He gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit that we might be his people. The Holy Spirit is God with us. When Jesus Christ went to heaven, when he ascended, he told the disciples, I'm not leaving you alone. We're going to send you the Holy Spirit so that we are not alone and that God is with us. The Holy Spirit is God's guidance and direction, and we as a church must follow it if we're going to be the people of God. The church was born when God sent the Holy Spirit to his people. Let's not turn our back on God's gift. Let's use it to be God's people. Amen.